Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, I'm thinking about the statement, what's the point? You know, what is the point? It's important. It's amazing how many people live their life and never ask themselves that question. What's the point? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's like, have you ever even pondered the idea? I mean, you ever cry? You're just like, and they're like, well, no, it's just what somebody else did. So I just started doing it. And what is it? We don't really know what it is, but we're just doing it.
Right.
And you know,
it's always been this way.
It's always been this way. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? You know, and I think about, there's three types of folks. There's three types of folks, and I want to be able to talk about it, because it's kind of just really the question we need to ask ourselves: which one are we, and which one do we want to be? There's a first type of person who, you know, and we're talking about people who profess to be believers, that they are a person that are more like hearers. They're like hearers, like hearing with your ears. It makes me think about James chapter 1. I mean, they're such good hearers. They're such good hearers that they even dress up. They dress up with some of the very most expensive clothes they have, and they build buildings and with nice, comfortable seating to be able to show up, to sit there and be very attentive to hear what's being taught, to hear a preaching, a message.
Mm-hmm.
And they're such good hearers, and they're so dedicated that they even prepare for next week. They're planning on coming back to the same place with different expensive clothes on to hear again. And they're so dedicated, they will even sit there and hear you out for 10 or 20 years. They're not planning on doing anything with it, but they are hearers. I mean, they'll go, I like the rhythmic parts of that. And, you know, you're a front loader and you're a downloader, how you brought that thing in here. And man, that was just, oh my goodness, I heard that. You know what? I'm so moved and touched. I'm going to come next week and I'm going to hear it again. I just can't wait to hear you. And it's like, what's the point? It makes me think of James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely hear or listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Why do you think that man or woman of God is pouring their heart out? You want to encourage them? After you hear it, do it. I'm trying to think of a way to have Pastor's Appreciation Day. Do what they've been teaching you for 10 years. Right? He says, this is what he says. He says, James says, do not merely listen or hear the word and so deceive yourself. And right now in America, you have to admit, there's a lot of hearers. I mean, they are dedicated hearers. They'll build huge edifices, huge buildings and organizations just to hear. And what's interesting thing that those who are teaching them don't even ask this question here. What's the point? What's the point? You know, I'm not an entertainer. I'm trying to teach you what to do. Oh, we hear you.
Right.
And he says, and he says, do what they say. In verse 23, he says, anyone who hears or listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, hearers are like, well, that was great. Wasn't that wonderful? I like your dress. That's a nice suit. Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear the band? Did you hear? Oh, it was just wonderful. And by the time you get to the car, gets to the car, all they can think about is the ball game. And if somebody held a gun to their head, they couldn't tell you one thing they heard. That's not their point. Their point was, I just wanted to hear it, and then I want to leave it, and I will hear you again next week. I am a loyal hearer, deceived in all I do. But then there's another one. No, it makes me even think about this. It makes me think about In the hearers, it makes me think about James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, what good is it? He's like, what is the point? James is saying. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds? What's he saying? If you hear it, but you don't do it. Can such faith save him? Can hearers be saved? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. I've heard that you had problems. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical condition. What good is this? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by doing something, by action, it's dead. So what does that mean? That means if you're a hearer, and listen, I understand you may have been around hearers for some time now, and it's amazing how much money they put into hearing, and it kind of makes you think, like, it's got to be right. I mean, they're putting so much money into this whole thing, and they do say amen, and they do, and the one who teaches doesn't even mind if they don't do it, and so maybe we're just supposed to hear. And then I get in trouble if I start doing it because they think I'm competing against them. And mm-hmm. So I think maybe I'm just supposed to hear. I don't know what it is. Deceived. That's what it is. That's what he says. Then you have the do. The doers. I'm just a doer, you know. The doers. You know, you go to all the people are concerned about is just doing something. The social justice movement, just doing something. You know, you know, the people don't care about you. They just want to know what you do. You go to a meeting of people who are into doing and not into faith doing, but they're into doing. They just go, you call them pancake breakfasts or whatever. They go, hey, how's things going? Good. What you doing? What do you do? And the one says, well, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Oh, you're doing that? I'm doing this. It's like, this is a doo-doo meeting. That's all we're talking about. I'm dying and you don't care. You just want to know what I'm doing.
All right.
And you walk in feeling like doo-doo and you leave feeling with a bigger pile of doo-doo. Right? It's like, yeah. You don't even care that your brother's dying. All you want to know is his do. And then, you know, a do meeting is people who are concerned about losing their value in men's eyes, because if your pile of do-do is not bigger than their pile of do and do, then they feel less valuable. Paul said, I consider it all do-do. Mm-hmm. I consider it all dung. And James talks about this when he starts talking in his word. He says, listen, you got to be a doer. You got to be a hearer and a doer. But there's people that just say, I don't have time to hear the word. I don't have time to go sit with a fellowship and hear the taught word of God. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm part of the 81% that read my Bible, but I'm doing me and I am doing. Look at my t-shirt. Have you seen my bumper sticker? Mm-hmm. You know, I am a doer. I am a doer, not a hearer, just a doer. And then you have one other type of person. Hoodoo. Don't tell me there's not no hoodoo going on. Hoodoo has always happened since day one. And these are people who think they are what they do. They are their gift. I call it hoodoo. You know, if they didn't have their gift, they wouldn't know who they were. And so the hearers have no problem with hoodoo because it gives them something to hear. And the hoodoos really like to hear hearers because they have somebody to hear their hoodoo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the do-doers don't even know this is going on because they're not planning on hearing in the first place. And they might have a gift of prophecy. They might have a gift of administration. They may have a gift of giving or whatever it is, but they just, that's their gift. That's what they do. Miracles, tongues. But hoodoo, total hoodoo. But it makes me think of what Jesus said about hoodoo. It's in Matthew chapter 7. He was talking about these guys. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, the difficulty with the hearer, they're not planning on doing. So they actually heard what they're supposed to do, but they're not going to do it. The problem with the doer is they're doing what they think is right, but not the will of the Father. Now, the difficulty with the hoodoo is they're actually being worshipped. They're actually wanting, they like the adoration and all that's being given, because people, they are what they do. Preacher, teacher, whatever it is. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, listen, in verse 20, 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? Don't you know who I am? I'm the one that sang that song where everybody was teared in their eye and they gave me an offering or went and bought me some stuff. Don't you remember who I am?
All right.
Look at my ring. Look at my watch. Look at my car, Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
He said, many people will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. What does that mean? They use their gifts. And so many people think because you have a gift and it works when you use it, since it's right, you're right. But it was the name of Jesus that caused that to be right. This is what Jesus says to them. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There's so much hoodoo going on. There is more here going on. A social justice movement would be like a do. When your brother's dying and when your sister's dying and you come together to encourage each other and all you talk about is what are you doing, you're in to do. But there's another people. And these are the people God's looking for. And these are the ones that are not deceived. These are the ones that are not going to be confronted at the throne room of God and say, listen, you know, away from me, you evildoers. Think about it, you evil doers, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are people who hear the word of God and they do what it says. I mean, you think about it. He says in James chapter 1, verse 25, he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. Think about it. I hear, you want to be blessed? Do what you heard.
Yeah.
Do what you read. Do what you heard in your abiding time. And he goes on to say in James chapter 2 and verse 18, when he just got to talk about faith without works or deeds or doing is dead, just because you heard it don't mean you're right. You're going to have to do what you heard. In verse 18, James 2, 18, he says, but someone would say, you have faith, I have works, I have deeds, I have doing. He says, show me your faith without works or doing, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without doing? Do you want evidence that just hearing and doing and hoodoo is wrong? He said, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions, his doing, his hearing what God said, his doing what God said, were working together. And by this, his faith was made complete. By what he did. Listen, are you incomplete? If you are a hearer, if you are a doer, you know, you got a lot of cards, business cards to talk about what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a who doer, I mean, you're booking engagements based on your gift when your life's falling apart. I got good news for you. Your faith can be complete. You can be like the father of faith. You can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can be a part of the kingdom of God. You do this by one simple thing. You hear what God says. Abide with him. Hear his word. Hide his word in your heart. And do what he says. And he says, when you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See You at the Pole. That can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize or what they call proselytize their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday, because it just, God just filled, so filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg, vision that God gave me in regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time, because listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. But we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I was thinking, about Abraham and how Abraham just so trusted God. I mean, how many times have I read about Abraham? And every time I keep, it's one of the wonderful things about reading the Word of God is that you read it and you think you have it figured out. And then the Holy Spirit shows you, nope, I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to teach. I'm going to speak to you.
It's living and it's active. It's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. Amazing. So I'm thinking about Abraham, right? Abraham. God tells Abraham, you know what? I want you to get up out this country. I'm going to send you, you know, I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your father's household, and I'm going to send you to a land. I'm going to send you to a land, and I'm going to make you a great nation and bless you. No, Abraham just gets up and starts moving out of the land. So it's just obey. Here's God and obeys.
Isn't that just wonderful? That's just so. Isn't that beautiful?
It just gets up and goes, yes, right. God. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, right.
I'm out.
I'm out of here.
See ya. I'm out.
I'm out of here.
So Abraham's on this quest. And he's just obeying God, and God's about to show him. So, you know, he's got to hear, he's got to abide, he's got to be dependent upon the Lord. He's got to walk in some humility here.
You left everything that you know, your way of life, your business, you're leaving everything, and you're walking
everything.
In the wilderness, in this wilderness.
Just you and God.
It's you and God.
Which is good.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, on his journey, he runs it. There's a famine in the land. God winds up bringing him to Egypt. You know, even in the midst of, you know, if you're listening to God, God's going to steer you in every way that you need to go. But you got to abide with him. You got to spend time with him. And so God leads him to Egypt. And in Egypt, he tells his wife, hey, listen, you're my sister right now. Okay. Because, you know, God's blessed me. Yeah. You're looking good, girl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're beautiful.
Listen,
you know
they're going, you're so beautiful that they're going to kill me if they find out that you're my wife.
These cats here are going to go.
Is that amazing? Is that amazing? My wife's so beautiful, they might kill me.
They might kill me.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You my sister. You're going to be your sister. Okay. Got it.
So Pharaoh go ahead and just like Abraham prophesied, took his sister, his wife, and God had a way of giving Pharaoh some revelation. Don't even touch that woman. That woman is not his sister.
Because it wasn't Pharaoh, by the way. It wasn't Pharaoh. Go ahead.
One of the Egyptian leaders there.
Yeah.
And he takes him in. And the guy comes and says, listen, you know, she's yours. I don't know what you got plan going on here, but you need to take your wife and you need to get up and go. And by the way, let me give you some stuff. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some stuff. So as Abraham's going on his journey, he's being blessed. I mean, he's hearing God. He's listening to God. God's blessing him. And he keeps moving forward. He keeps on going. And now Abraham's a pretty wealthy guy. He's a wealthy guy. He's obeyed the Lord. And he's gotten so blessed. He's traveling with his nephew Lot that they have too much cattle. They have too much men. And they have some sort of, you know, their men are getting involved because there's not enough area and land for their cows and cattle and all their animals to graze. So
it
you know,
it was Pharaoh, by the way.
Okay. And
I was thinking about Bobby Joe's wife.
Bobby Joe's wife. I thought it was a Pharaoh.
Everybody leader by then called themselves Pharaoh.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
I saw Charlton Heston. I know what's going on. I know what's going on.
So
let my people go. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Where are you doing
now.
That? Okay, listen. Go ahead.
All right. So Abraham says, listen, go ahead and go. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep moving. And that's fine. You know, he's just blessed. So as he's living, Lot out there gets into a little bit of trouble.
Lot? Yeah.
Yeah. And Abraham goes out and rescues him. Now think about this.
He was driving around the city, wasn't he? He's like, oh, this is our last look at all the bright lights and all the things here.
He wasn't doing that. I was not doing that.
Oh, no. You were from a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
So Lot is out there. And he gets in some trouble.
Is he?
Uh-huh. And Abraham here. Now he just left with nothing, some family, a couple goats, his wife, beautiful wife. And now Abraham, he feels like he's living in the blessing. I mean, he has at least 300 fighting men at this point of his life. He has all this wealth. And he goes and he rescues Lot. He's fighting these kings, the whole nine yards. And he comes to this moment in Genesis 14 where he meets the king and the priest, Melchizedek. King of Salem, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
All right, King of Salem. I mean, the king breaks some bread. They have some wine. Abraham has the first communion out there in this valley. Okay? And Abraham is so overwhelmed that he gives him a tenth of everything he has. He's like,
Jesus, man.
And I'm saying, what's the Jesus? This is like,
I know.
The ultimate. But check this out. Yeah. This is what really just gets me about Abraham. As in verse 15, verse 1, listen to what he says. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And he says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But this is what Abram says. It's Abram at the time. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer from Damascus? I mean, Abraham is coming, he thinks, to the end of his life.
Right.
God, listen, your promises are awesome. You've led me out this land. I got a beautiful wife. I'm wealthy. I got 300 fighting men. I don't rescue Lot. I don't have communion with Jesus. I'm good.
Right.
I'm good.
Right.
Except.
Right.
Except they don't have anyone to inherit this stuff.
The promise.
The promise. I mean, talk about Abraham's famous last words. Abraham, remember when you were saying it was almost over? It was all done. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Imagine.
It was all done. And the thing is,
isn't it interesting, too, that so often we can struggle because, like, yeah, I know all this is happening, but what about this?
Yeah.
And it's almost, that's going to happen at a point so far down to where he talks about in Romans chapter 3 or 4, where he's talking about, you know, facing the fact that it was impossible for them to do it in their own strength, right?
Exactly. So that Abraham comes to the place where God didn't forget about Abraham. Maybe Abraham just forgot about God. Well, how many times do we get, you know, it's like, wait a minute, don't give up on God.
Right.
Don't give up on God, because you know what? He hasn't given up on you.
Nope.
And so Abraham thinks it's all done, and God says, no, it ain't done. Son, it's just begun. I gave you a taste of a little bit of wine, but I'm about to pour out some new wine in your life. It's going to wreck your world. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Now, I mean, Abraham has some age on him at this point.
So much age, stuff that nothing, it just, you know.
No,
yeah,
no, no, just, stuff, it, you know. Yeah, you know. Wait,
yeah, I understand.
You know.
Yeah.
And so God was so outside of his box. He says, look, Abraham, I don't want you. And here's the thing. Abraham and his wife were so old that they were looking at their natural circumstances instead of looking at a supernatural God.
It's over now. There's no way it can happen. Look at us. Look at us. There's no, there's just, you know, go get my teeth. There's just no way. You got some effort in it? This ain't, this is not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? This is.
And how many times does that happen? I mean, God had to tell him, look, I want you to come outside. I'll make a covenant with you. I want you to look at the stars in the sky. I want you to look at the sand on this seashore. Because you, Abraham, it's not over. It's just begun for you.
And there's people, too, that line up that'll let you know, oh, by the way, Abraham, didn't you say that your children be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea? Isn't it true that you two can't even have a baby?
Yeah.
What's going on? They'd line up all day long. Oh, by the way, Abraham, isn't it true that you said that you're just like, listen, you know, dark deliverers, you know, I'm already holding on to this thing. Yeah, right. Thorn. That's a good name, right?
Yeah,
Thorn.
Thorn and Thorna. There you go. We got to coin that right now.
Thornisms. That's ours right there. Here is today. Thornisms. Thornisms right here on VFN Radio.
Hey, look, God has so much big plans for you. Maybe you've come to a point in your life where you think that, you know what, like Abraham, maybe I've done all that I can do for God. Maybe I've done everything. But you know what? Stop looking. Maybe if it's your age, maybe you think you come to a certain point in your life and you know what? It's all that God can do. I'm X amount of years old. Or maybe it's your finances. Stop looking at your finances. You know? Stop looking at that. Stop looking at your health. Stop looking at your inabilities and look up and start to look at God. You know, God's not out of, you know, his mind is out of your mind.
That's what David Hogan said, right? Yeah. I love that.
It's like, come on now. God has such an awesome and amazing vision. He has so much stuff for us to do, but we can't let our natural circumstances and the things that are around us to stop us from inheriting the promise. I mean, what if Abraham would have just stopped and said, you know, God, this is that. And many people do. I mean, many people just say, you know what, I've had enough. This was a good run, if you will. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy and to be to settle. But my goodness, we need those that have the spirit of Abraham that say, you know what, I don't care how old I am. I don't care about my natural circumstances. I don't care what's going on. God, I'm going to believe you for more. I'm going to believe you for more. And to me, that was just so encouraging, because what God's getting ready to do on the face of this earth is going to require for Abrahams, the Sarahs, to take God at his word and to step out and believe him with faith. I mean, listen, even though God promised it, even though God said it, you're going to be the father of many nations and you're going to birth them. Abraham still had to have faith to believe God and combine his actions, you know, living faith and actions, and step on out and do what God said he was going to do. And you know what? Just as God said it, it happened. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but he didn't let the facts, the circumstances of his situation dictate what God can do.
That's so important, because sometimes people feel like they're betraying their faith in God when they face the facts.
Yeah.
But you can look how it is and go, you know what? Even though in the natural sense, it doesn't look like we can do this thing or this thing's going to happen, I still believe in God. I'm unwavering in my faith that God is able to do. I'm fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said, because he's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. He doesn't speak and not act or promise and not fulfill. And that's he had that drive. He's like, you know, I don't care. I'm fully persuaded.
We don't serve a wishy-washy God. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Fact is one thing, but truth, God's truth, right, always supersedes the fact. So, yeah, you know what? The fact is that you may be sick, but God's truth says that healing is available for me today. Listen, God hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't given up on you. Maybe you have just given up on God. Don't give up on God. He's got so much more for you in store. We'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Saeed. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, download our app or whatever. But we want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that, because we got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. Mm. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at VFNDreamCenter.com, VFNDreamCenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We're located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with, it's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's exciting what God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said.
We found another way. how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been at that point in time where you needed to rest, but you didn't know it. You needed to rest, but you didn't know it. Now, everybody else knows you're at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know. You don't know yet you're at that point. If you asked other people, they would go, oh, yes, you need to rest. Oh, but you know, there comes a time when even if you're doing something good, you've got to rest. And so many people that are, you know, being good mothers and good fathers and good employers and good ministers, you know, that you can just pour yourself out. And if you don't take care of yourself, even though it's good what you're doing, it's going to be bad and you're going to end up in a bad place. It makes me think of Isaiah 28, Isaiah 28, verse 11 through 13, when he's saying, listen, you know, God will speak to his people. And he says about a particular time of rest. He says, this is the time of a resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose. But they wouldn't listen. How many times has that happened?
A few.
But they wouldn't listen. I mean, think about it. A lot of times we think, well, why would God interrupt something good? Why would wisdom interrupt something good? And the truth is, it's because you're only human. You know, it makes me think of Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival. That he was young in his 20s. God was using him. You know, God was just shaking all the Welsh people, and he just didn't rest.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, he just lost it. And he started, what was good turning up, you know, kind of being bad. Then finally, he was so weak that a lady came up and said, oh, Robert, Evan, you are tired. You just need to rest. I'll tell you what. I'll build you a little place onto my mansion, and you can come out there and you can rest. Maybe you can edit my magazine or something. And you never heard from Evan again.
Mm.
You should have rested. Wisdom would have told him to rest. And he says, this is the place, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose, kicking back. But they wouldn't listen. So, this is what happens. Then, the word of the Lord, which means something very good, very awesome,
mm-hmm.
to them, not to everybody else, but to that person who wouldn't rest, will become, do this, do that. A roll for this. A roll for that, a little here, a little there. Think about it. The awesome thing, the very word of God that you fell in love with, that you thought, oh my goodness, it just drips with honey, and I so enjoy reading the word of God. And now, the very good word now has become a bad experience for you.
Mm.
Don't panic. Don't think you're wrong. Just think you need rest. You need to repose. And realize this, that there's a lot of people that if they would have just rested for a little while, they wouldn't be in jail for a long while.
Right.
They wouldn't have lost their tempers. They wouldn't have lost their cool. And so, you know, or lost, done something that, you know, you regret, because tornadoes last for 40 seconds, but sometimes it takes 40 years to recover from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it just becomes a little here, a little there, a little rule here, rule there, do this, do that. And so that they, the person who wouldn't rest, will go and fall. They'll fall backwards. There's a progression here. All of a sudden, when it becomes rigorous to you, what was fun and relational and just you couldn't wait to abide with God and spend time with Him, but you're only human. You've done too many things in the short period of time. You need to reboot and get with God and have a time of repose, a time of just shutting down. And they wouldn't listen, so all of a sudden they go and they fall backwards. Then they become injured. Then they get snared. And then they get captured, like Evan Roberts.
Wow.
First of all, that's why it's always good to be close to the body of Christ. So much of the body is so isolated from itself. Mm-hmm. Even though they show up once a week for 45 minutes to talk about God and celebrate and do some awesome things, they don't know each other. And it's like, you could be going through this time and somebody needs to look at you and go, you need rest. You need to repose. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a place, a secret place, that we allow ministers to be able to come to be able to rest and to reboot and to be re-encouraged. And the ones who don't, you eventually tell that they get bound, they fall backwards, they get injured, they get snared, and they get captured. I mean, it's just a necessary thing. And it's interesting that quite often you think, well, this is good. This is a good thing. But you're only human. And God is the only one good. So you're going to have to be in tune with God and have a peace inside of you so the goodness of God can come out of your life. It's not you doing good. In the context of that, it's God's goodness in you coming out that's empowering you to do good. And so there comes a time, and it probably quite often, what you would think in the natural, this is the worst time ever to take a sabbatical, to take rest. And the truth is, that's probably the best time that you can take it, because normally about that time, there's a lot of ensnarements going on. There's a lot of people that claim ownership of you. There's things that have snared your thought life, maybe, or your emotions, and you're on the verge of being captured, you know, and you've got to just stop. You just got to stop and let the world go on. And I tell you what, you know, when you die, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment, the world goes on. The world goes on. And sometimes that's one of the most offensive things, that when you've lost a loved one, somebody close to you, and you're mourning their loss, and you pull out of the graveyard, you're broken, and you look at the road, and it's like, they didn't even stop.
Yeah.
Life just went on. You go to a clerk and they don't even know all your tragedies and everything that just happened. Life just goes on. What happens quite often when you are involved in doing good, that you'll get this complex of thinking, well, that it's actually you doing it. And if you let go of it and you stop, then it'll all fall apart. Well, it's time for you to let go of it, because if you are the one doing it, it needs to fall apart. And whatever the hay, wood, and stubble is, it'll just go away. And then when you come back from your time of your sabbatical, whatever is left, that's God. That's God. And you'll find out you'll have a lot more energy. I just want to encourage you. If what was once good in your life has become rigorous, you know, and somebody told you, hey, you need to take some time and rest, but you wouldn't listen. Now it's like do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. And all of a sudden, you may have already been snared already. You may be injured. You're offended. You're easily offended because you're so weak. And you're at the verge of being captured. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to God. You need to listen to Isaiah the prophet. He says, listen, there was a time. There was a time God was speaking and saying, this is what you need to do. And what happens is, it's almost like Isaiah 58. Everything just gets refreshed. All of a sudden, things get into perspective. You get ministered to. You get refreshed. And now you are a whole person again, and you're able to come back wholly, you know, to be able to do what you know that you're called to do in your life and your ministry and in your family. It's a very, very important thing to be able to do, to be able to take some time to spend with.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham, this reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God, the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org. Did you actually turn it like cool in here, or did you just kind of like heat? Okay, the I'm on fire today. I don't know what it is. I'm like hot.
It was the turkey.
See,
extra spice, yeah. Cayenne,
extra K-on. Cajun spice.
K-on. What's K-on?
Cayenne pepper.
I've been poisoned. I've been a drone in my turkey. The K-on. That's a keeper.
That's a good one.
That's a keeper.
That's a recipe.
K-on.
Cajun sauce. Is that combination?
I just mixed it together.
Okay. Cayenne and Cajun. That's okay.
My own ingredient.
Cajun.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The voice of the Lord, you know, hearing the voice of the Lord is so important. That's what God's called us to do. Religion has begun to tell so many people, hear my voice. And God's going, no, shut your voice and tell them that I speak, that God speaks. And there'll be a day that you hear the voice of the Son of Man, the Son of God, and you shall live. Which means what happens when you don't hear the voice of the Lord? He said, they hear my voice and they follow another. What happens if you've never heard his voice? Does that mean you're following somebody other than the one true shepherd? And I just want to encourage you that begin to ask God, say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Begin to begin to consider John chapter 15. Read the get a red letter Bible that has all of Jesus' words in red. And read John 15. And he talks about staying with him, abiding with him, remaining in him. And he will remain in you, abiding in his word. And he'll speak to you. He'll guide you. You'll be fruitful. He'll empower you to be faithful. He'll show you how through his empowerment of his spirit that you can actually be obedient that you could have never done on your own. I mean, we cannot do it on our own, but you'll be able to do things you thought you never could do. But he'll keep you humble, reminding you of a few things you can never do and he won't let you do. And he'll bring you to a place of what he calls complete joy. He talks about in John chapter 15, I believe 10. He said, listen, you know, I've obeyed my father and I want you do the same thing, and this is how you'll have complete joy. A lot of people skip the first part of John 15 about abiding, and they try to walk out religiously an obedient life to the scriptures, not understanding you can't do that. But you can be empowered by God's Spirit. You can be empowered by God's Spirit to be able to walk in a way of obedience that amazes you. I mean, not perfect. I mean, there's grace and there's mercy. But listen, you know who you'd be outside of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm joking about, you know, Pat being Superman. He's not Superman. He's a real man like everybody else is. And I am too. And we all are. And we need God. We need God's empowerment. But I can testify that God is able. He is more than able to empower you to do everything that he's asked you to do. But you got to depend on him to do it through you. Mm-hmm. And you can do that through a personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, you first have to know him. And when you begin to abide with him, he'll know you. You see, a lot of people, I mean, even demons know about Jesus and tremble. But it's not enough for you to know about Jesus. He needs to know about you.
That's right.
And that's spending time with him. Spending time with him. Hearing what he's saying. Reading his word. Hiding his word in your heart. Meditating on the word. Speaking that word that he put in your heart. Believing what he has said. Talking to him. Letting him know what you need. What's some things that are happening in your life? Are you having marital problems? Are you having relationship problems with others? Are you having family issues, financial issues, job issues, car issues, political issues, whatever it is? Just let him know. Say, I need some help. And then listen to him. Pause long enough to listen to him and hear his response. And write this whole thing down in a journal.
Yeah.
Write it down. Listen, if God, the creator of the universe, is answering you and speaking to you and either urging you or coming all outright, maybe giving you a dream or just giving you a confirming word, write it down so you'll have it forever. I mean, I can lose everything, but I don't want to lose one thing. That's the words the Lord has spoken to me.
Yeah.
The words he's spoken to me. Think about it. All these years later, they dig out the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm. Why is it so precious? These are the words that God spoke. Why is the book of Revelation so important? These are the words God spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. Mm-hmm. But you know what? God's still speaking today. He's speaking today. Listen, it's not just for Moses to go to the mountaintop. God wanted everybody to go and to hear his voice, but they weren't willing to prepare themselves. Listen, prepare yourself to approach the holy mountain of God and realize that if you deal with what you have to deal with is sin at the cross of Jesus and you repent, you can climb up on that mountain. You can begin to ascend his holy hill with clean hands and a pure heart. And just like Moses, just like John, just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah, just like all those that have gone before us and those that are hearing today, and even an 8-year-old named Cooper in Maryland is hearing the voice of God, you can hear God. God, let's read Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 says, listen, I talked to you, but you wouldn't listen. Now this storm's coming. And I'm going to laugh at it, laugh at you. But if you would have listened to me, I would have revealed the secrets of my heart. Stop and begin to abide with him. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple one for you. You can request it. Request it. Request it at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Just fill out that simple information. As soon as you push submit, instantly you will be there and have access to video, audio, and simple abiding plan that even an 8-year-old can do it. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12, he talks about that. He says, for the word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We're talking about abiding with God and in his word, but it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's a living, breathing, active word of God. And so we're talking about spending time, not religiously, but relationally. Yeah. Help me out that. Hanging out.
Relationally.
Yes, thank you. With God and talking and walking, just like Adam and Adam did in the garden, strolling with God. And you'll be surprised how alive and how living his word is. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, which means it penetrates both ways. And that it penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit. So your soul is what you think, what you want, what you feel. And it divides that from your spirit, which your spirit is saved the moment you give your life to the Lord. But your soul needs to be renewed and it's got some issues. So the word of God will help you divide what's spirit and what's soul. And then it comes in and even down to the bone and the marrow. It even judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listen, if we want to get rid of our attitude as a church, we need to get back into the word of God. George Barna's study says that 81, 82% of those who profess to be Christians are not even reading their Bible at all. And out of those that are reading it, only 3% are concerned about their heart condition as they do. If you want to get a simple plan to do that, we have one for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after this message.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org. Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.